From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
I'm Robert Siegel, and this is Garth Knox on his new album Saltarello, playing the viola d'amore. The viola d'amore is a forebear of the modern viola, which is Knox's main instrument. It has two sets of seven strings. The Dublin-born, Scottish-raised musician plays three stringed instruments on Saltarello. He says he's been working the viola d'amore into his music ever since he stumbled upon the instrument in Italy.
The viola d'amore appeared and then disappeared in musical history. And I think it's one of those instruments which, you know, it's a lot of babies got thrown out with the bathwater. And I thought the viola d'amore was a particularly big baby that had been thrown away by mistake. And so I'm not the only one, but I and other people are trying to bring it back now and show just how beautiful it can be.
You think perhaps it was tossed out with the hurdy-gurdy? With the kind of,
that kind of thing, yeah, yes. Yeah. It got sort of forgotten. I mean, in a way, it got left behind when music started changing key a lot. But then in folk music, that's not a handicap. You don't change key that often in folk music.
Now, you played the viola from an early age, which is to say, somebody switched you from violin to viola. Is that was that a measure of your future as a violinist, or why did they make you play the viola?
Well, I was kind of born into it. When I was born, I already had two sisters who played the violin, and I had a brother who played the cello. So for the family string quartet, it was very clear from the start which instrument I was going to play. And I only took up the violin because I couldn't reach the end of the viola. And as soon as I could, at the age of 11, I then immediately switched to viola and enjoyed it much more and never called my fate into question.
Well, let's turn now to I guess, the oldest music that you include on this album, which is a sort of a mashup of something by Hildegard von Bingen,
yes,
and also Guillaume de Machaut. And you're no longer playing the viola d'amore.
I'm playing medieval fiddle here, which is a bit like the hurdy-gurdy, but we played with a bow, and it's probably as far back as we can go for bowed string instruments.
What does the medieval fiddle look like? What is it?
It looks like what you see in Renaissance paintings. You obviously see angels playing them. They have usually five strings. But bridge is flat. You can play all the strings all the time, which is the idea. I think it's a very beautiful instrument, and it has a very earthy sound, which is what I liked. So this, as I say, we play a piece by Hildegard von Bingen from the 12th century. It's probably about as far back as we can go. It was first a vocal piece, but of course it would have been accompanied by a drone on probably a fiddle or something like this. And so I do a sort of little meditation around this Hildegard von Bingen piece.
These instruments that you play, these long-lost instruments, were they made by the likes of Stradivarius and so on, or were these more common folk instruments?
Well, the fiddle was certainly a more common folk instrument. It was a more basic instrument and easier to make, and probably there were very good makers at the time. But unfortunately, there are none which survived from the 12th, 13th, 14th century. So we really, yes, we were working on paintings and recreating them. Mm-hmm. And finding things that sound good, basically. But I like to have this sense of where we come from. That's part of my nature. And playing the viola, I really wanted to know where it came from, which is why I went back first to the viola d'amore and then to the fiddle, which is where all the string instruments we play nowadays come from.
You include on this album a couple of pieces by, I guess it's the Finnish composer.
That's right, Kaija Saariaho, who I admire very much as a composer. And I thought it would be very interesting to put things together which normally you don't hear together. Just what appealed to me in making the CD was to take a piece from the 12th century and put it beside one that was written 3 years ago and just see what the differences are and where we're at in 12, you know, almost 1,000 years later. And they're both wonderfully rich and stimulating. You couldn't really choose between them. Kaija comes from Finland, from the Arctic wastes, and I think you can hear this a bit in the music, the beautiful solo across the swirling wind behind, made with viola sounds and light electronics.
Well, what do you think for someone who has included a piece from the 14th century on this album and folk music, which I don't know how old it is? Yeah. Does this music have legs? Does electronic 21st century music have legs and going to be around for 800 years?
I think pieces like this will last, yes. I think in 1,000 years people will have heard it. In fact, this, you know, the past goes away less and less these days. You know, we have recordings of all this old music from the past, which they didn't have in the past. And I think the present will stay around a lot longer than it used to.
You do something on this in this album that's very interesting. You include a Vivaldi concerto for viola d'amore. However, as opposed to playing it on a viola d'amore with orchestra, it's arranged for a viola d'amore and cello. So they're just two instruments playing a Vivaldi concerto.
I've been working a bit in the Baroque field, and I noticed over the years the Baroque players like very much to lighten things up and make it clearer by reducing the number of people playing. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, people used to play Baroque pieces with big orchestras and big choirs, and little by little it's getting smaller and smaller, and actually the tempos have been getting a bit faster. And I thought it'd be nice to see just how far you could go. And in this Vivaldi piece, I think we've reached the limit, because you couldn't really take anything else out.
You've got to have two instruments to play a Vivaldi.
There are only two, yes, that's right. I think everything, all the essential is there, and actually it gains something. I think it's rather exciting and interesting to hear it played like this.
It is lovely, and it makes you wonder why one would have needed the other couple of dozen players there. Garth Knox, you mentioned being literally born to play the viola because your older siblings already played two violins and a cello.
Right.
What was the family? Are there other professional musicians in the family?
I'm the only one who carried on. We used to play together every Christmas for a string quartet, and at the beginning I was the worst, and then I got better and better, and they got worse and worse. And in the end, it was kind of torture for me. And it completely ruined Mozart's Eine Kleine Nachtmusik, because it's the piece we played every year, and I just can't hear it anymore without bringing back those memories. But we had a lot of fun.
Hey, were your parents musicians as well?
My father played the bagpipes, which is a great instrument, and the further away you get, the better it sounds. When it's played inside right next to you, it's almost unbearable.
Yeah.
And my mother played the piano. So yes, everyone played something, which is the way in Ireland. You know, there's not the separation between performer and listener. Everybody does it.
Well, Garth Knox, thanks a lot for talking with us about your new album.
Thank you, Robert. It's a pleasure.
Garth Knox plays the viola d'amore, and the fiddle on his new album called Saltarello. He spoke to us from Paris.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.